This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication.
Hi, this is Johnny Bluestar back with Threshold Radio. Well, today we're going to have a little bit of fun. Ken Eady, the author, is going to be with me, and Rod Tyler, interviewing me about my fantasy presidential campaign platform. This is good to listen to if you like fantasy football, or maybe you like fantasy baseball better. Or maybe if you like video games where you win the war, or movies where the good guys actually win. Because this is actually a kind of a fantasy creation of mine. But nonetheless, if you like all those things, you'll appreciate my fantasy presidential campaign. No, I'm not really running for office. No, I do not intend to offer my candidacy for anything outside of a talk show host. But I'm already that, so I don't have to worry. Why am I being interviewed for this position then? Because I am tired of the kind of platforms I am hearing on national television, of course. They do not speak to the fantastic opportunities for America if America wakes up and starts voting for people with good ideas. In this interview, I'll discuss various components and solutions to the problems facing America today. And Ken, the first thing I'm going to present is this. Since the fundamental problem in the United States is that our elected officials are bought and sold by large corporations, my first step will be to take the money out of politics and have public funding of political campaigns. This will be done with a constitutional amendment. What do you think of that? That's not an original idea of mine, but...
No, and it's something that I've always been in favor of. We have to take the profit out of politics because basically... Well, the way it's set up now with our lobbying system, which is you can't find anywhere in the Constitution, is that you can basically buy whatever legislation that you need to promote your particular industry. So I think it's a great idea. I can't criticize you on that. The problem is there's a big problem. The people that we need to enact this this reform are the people who are all benefiting by the way things are now. So I think first step is to get them out.
Well, getting them out, again, is the same type of problem. And we've discussed maybe the possibilities of developing a grassroots movement that could exactly do that. Yeah. Not all these things can be done at once. But I want to say that if we could develop this at some point, public funding of political campaigns would not be enough. Whereas it levels the playing field, it does not necessarily create good citizens. And that's what we need. We need good citizens to create a good, safe, and prosperous democracy. Good citizens, in my book, means informed and enlightened citizens whose understanding and views of their duties and obligations are in line with the fundamental values of the Founding Fathers and their expanded vision. The new American dream began by the progressive movement. Therefore, I support an ongoing online citizenship platform allowing voters separated in their election districts to organize campaigns for candidates for primary and regular elections, to develop initiatives to bring to the attention of elected officials and government agencies. The online component of developing initiatives will allow final proposals to seek backing from hundreds, if not thousands, of voters whose voting powers can be felt in primaries and general elections. Now, Ken, this is I would just want to point out, elected officials and candidates will now know that ignoring their voters could result in their losing their opportunities to gain or maintain their seats in public office. Now, you know, I've been recently campaigning for a private organization to do that. Because right now, we need a grassroots organization to somehow move forward to help reform our government by putting the right people in, taking the wrong people out, getting the laws reestablished that are aligned with the Constitution. But I felt if certain things take place, then offering this kind of platform to the public would be a good idea.
I think it's a good idea, too. I mean, I think we talked about before the problem with having an informed voting public is that the education in our country is not good, and the media is not presenting the news. So, I mean, those are something an informed public needs to know what's going on in order to be able to form an opinion on what they think about something. And I think this online, I mean, they're not going to get this from Facebook, obviously, right?
No.
I think an online system like you're proposing would be a great idea, and I think it's an evolution of something that we already have the power of. Everyone now can email their congressman. Everyone now can petition using the modern technology. And instead of just walking from door to door saying, do you want to sign my petition, you actually can reach thousands and potentially millions of people through the internet. So I think we should move in that direction. I think we should start using the tools we have available to us now. On the internet, you can look and see how your congressperson votes on something, anything. And if you disagree with it, you can be armed with that information the next time you go to the voting booth. I mean, people, I remember when I first started voting, I'd look at the names and say, well, who are these people? You know, I don't know anything about them. And if you watch the news, you just hear about how the other guy is an asshole. That's basically how it works, right?
Right, yeah.
But now you can actually go and on the internet, you can see how your congressperson votes for things, and it's the best way to figure out whether or not you support him.
Well, the most important thing about this, Ken, is that this kind of platform allows 5,000, 10,000 people to send a sort of a group email or a group petition to get something done. And the people realize, oh my God, I might lose my seat. Because these people are not just solitary people writing me that can be tossed aside. This is an actual voting power.
And that is, I mean, that the truth is, if they're presented with something as organized as that, they are afraid, because we do have the ultimate power collectively to put them out of their job.
By law, we do.
Yes.
The primary system is there. We're just not using it.
No, we're not. And one of the things we're not doing is we're not registering to vote, which I think that I don't think we should have to register to vote. I think it should just, you know, when you go to renew your driver's license, a lot of states are doing this now. When you go to renew your driver's license, they should just register you to vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly playing games with registering to vote has been a longstanding preoccupation.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, everyone over 18 should be voting. They shouldn't be allowed to, you know, to try to slant the demographics in a particular area by having activists go out for a political group and signing up voters to vote the way they want. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And probably there should be this is not in my platform, but there should be a way of maybe going back to the old days of paper ballots.
Yeah, instead of these
easy to manipulate and cheat with computer
or slot machines. The slot machines they use now.
Zave Nathan and Bonnie Blazak are a married couple who work together creating songs, often with powerful social messages. Here's a wonderful call for social transformation, a song called Change.
That in the midst of death, life persists. In the midst of untruth, truth persists. In the midst of darkness, light persists.
genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on Earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope,
change,
and build a better life for their children. Peace for all men and women, peace in all time.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was six. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy, we ditch the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Well, now the next part of my platform, it's a component, a certain components. It's not enough. So I'm really interested in you looking at the components and adding some things to it, because I'm concerned about owing, you know, I don't know what it is now, $20 trillion. Oh, that's nice. Obama has done real well. Bush did great in each of them getting more debt compiled in their administrations than all the others put together. And Obama has just broken records. Since our financial system now is buoyed up by the relentless printing of unsecured currency, we must remake our entire financial system. Congress must take back its power to control currency. The national debt situation must be solved by renegotiating the debt on various levels. Having creditor nations and the existing Federal Reserve and other creditors seriously downsize the debt to avoid national bankruptcy. We're going to have to ask, we'll have to negotiate to some degree to downsize the debt. But one of the ideas that I had is the creation of an executive industrial advisory board that will provide management and technical support to various creditor nations in exchange for downsizing the debt and helping to boost their national economies by providing the technical and management solutions we were so great at before the failing trade agreements and lax trade protection policies robbed us of our potential. This board will consist of administrators paid by government and volunteer management and technical advisors that will offer their services to assist our country in neutralizing the debt. So we'll go to a country and say they have a certain industry and it's not real super competitive with ours. It's something that they could grow. We help them grow that industry. We give them technical information and management information and use our lost expertise. Our expertise is still there, but it's being wasted.
Well, you know, it's a great idea, but it's kind of like the idea of to fix something by making more bureaucracy, which it always grates me the wrong way. But I mean, basically, the problem in our country is we're always talking about a free market system, and a free market system is a great concept, but we don't have that in this country. We have a system where the currency, which is the dollar, which is also the whole world's reserve currency. I mean, they're messing with the whole world's currency. Is regulated by not even a governmental entity, by the Federal Reserve. And the government uses the Federal Reserve basically to keep prices high, to spur inflation. This is the way they like to run things, because if there's rampant inflation, then they can reduce the debt because the debt is costing them less to pay back in inflated dollars. So it's not really growing, it's being reduced. And they can go out and they can get us for more taxes so they can collect more money. And, you know, if you get a raise during an inflationary period like we have now, you get a raise. Yeah, the government's going to take some, so the government gets some of the money. But did you really get a raise? I mean, we should be in a deflationary spiral. This whole thing is artificially structured, and it's going to blow up in their face.
Well, I just want to say that I want to get back to exactly what you're talking about. I was talking about a way of reducing the debt by having volunteers go over to other countries and help them with their industry and, you know, their technical and industrial needs from a consultant point of view, and thereby increase their bottom line and thereby reduce our debt to them on a negotiated basis. Like maybe, you know, if that's possible, I think we could do a lot and get a lot out of that and give them something back for all the money that they spent. But in terms of what you're talking about, I think we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve. This has to be under the congressional oversight.
Yeah, but again, I mean, that's how everything works now in the
whole
world.
Well, that's what's in the
central banks.
That's wrong. That's what's in the Constitution. I'm talking about the printing of money now.
Yeah, ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about what they've done is they've printed themselves out of the financial crisis by printing up money, putting the liability on the backs of the taxpayers, and giving out the money free because they lowered the interest rate to nothing. They just put it back up, a quarter of a point, but they lowered it to nothing, which means banks got free interest loans to bail them out of their problems. Then they could go ahead and foreclose on your houses and sell that real estate off and make a profit.
And when you print money and you inflate prices, then of course you can go, if you owe $1 trillion, you're really paying, when you pay them $1 trillion, you may be giving them $500,000.
Exactly.
You know, half the amount anyway, half a trillion. Well, yeah, that's the old trick, right? I'm not for that trick. I'm for getting rid of that trick.
I agree.
Since the trick has already happened, we would have to renegotiate this debt and we would have to, I'm not sure if currency should be totally backed by gold and silver or something, because those the precious metals, which I believe in completely, investing in and all that, but I do believe that the reality is that currency is really backed by the goods and services that are being provided. It's like it's like a reflection of that aggregate nature of what's really going on.
That's true. I mean, that's what currency is, because it's what you can get in terms of goods and services. It's what you use to get that. And it's basically a barter system. But the dollar is a fiat currency. It's because the government says it's money that it's money.
And they say basically they're determining what it's worth in a certain way.
They're determining what it's worth. And I think, to go back to some kind of a gold standard would probably save the United States dollar. It doesn't have to necessarily be the way it was before. But, in the United States and Europe, of course, it belongs to other people. But we have the largest gold reserves in the world in safekeeping in the United States and Europe. So, we've been talking about the power of the United States and what they want to do with it. They've actually got power over that gold. So it's something that if the U.S. took the lead in going back to a gold standard, we could probably do something. Also, the International Monetary Fund is becoming very important in regulating currency. They're the ones that are bailing out all the euro crisis nations like Greece and Ireland and Iceland.
I am for probably backing the currency with precious metals, with gold or silver, or even platinum has been spoken of. But I also feel like there's probably a more sophisticated real world way of doing it, but it would be extremely complex, because you're dealing with having to calculate the daily growth and change of goods and services and purchases and sales throughout the country on a daily basis. So we will say that I haven't solved this problem.
No, and the thing is, it's time to work on a solution of the problem right now, because right now we have the power over the entire world currency, because the dollar is the world currency.
Well, let's just point out that the dollar it's not completely the world currency.
No, it's a world reserve currency. It's a secondary currency.
There's several other currencies that are trade currencies now, like including the euro. The yuan is coming online in October of 2016, and there are some other less important ones perhaps that are there. But the yuan people are speaking of may be backed by gold.
Well, why they're speaking about that? Because whenever there's unrest over the value of currency, what do central banks do? They buy gold. And China's been buying gold like crazy. And so is Russia. So these are the two countries that will be the leader in a revalued currency if we let them. So right now, we don't have to let them. We're in the lead. But instead of doing what needs to be done, we're still being ruled by people who want to put more money in their pockets. So that's the problem.
Let us take a break with a component of a song performed by Patricia Welch, which I wrote as a lyricist with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens. The song is called My Heart Is Ready.
Moonlight silver above.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Aaron for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had 2 seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com. New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects like book covers, logos, web design elements with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too. Well, I'm going to change the subject slightly. Kind of related though. Personally, I do not believe in a purely socialist or a purely capitalist state. Besides, nothing like that has ever existed in reality. A government cannot protect its citizens without completely or partially funding and maintaining certain types of programs, like the military, police, fire department, schools, perhaps, social security, Medicare, retirement benefits, so forth. I do not believe the best blend of these things should be labeled socialism or capitalism. I would call it socio-capitalism, for want of a better word. In case someone thinks I'm a closet socialist, let me say one of the first things I do would be to issue every American over the age of 18 a federal business license, allowing the owner to run his or her own business under conditions approved by the various state, county, and local municipalities, and making the business license owner eligible for publicly funded training programs developed with private-public cooperation. Now, see, Ken, the idea of this is, I'm aware, I think there is a class struggle between the employers and workers. I want to get rid of it. I want to just get rid of it because it's not necessary. I want to give people the maximum ability to empower themselves if they choose. They don't have to, but if they're going to work for somebody, they can work under arrangements, contractual arrangements with a group, a small group or a large group of people with their particular skills who contract to work with another partner, because their employer would be more or less another businessman. They would be independent contractors banding together to work with this particular contractor, if you like. This
kind of like a hybrid union concept.
It's kind of a hybrid union, but the difference is that the people can leave, they can have their own business, there will be on it. So in my new economy, there would be no longer a sharp division between business owners and workers. Everybody would be employed as an independent contractor. Groups of independent contractors could be contracted to serve a particular industry or corporation. Would be a cooperative agreement between business owners. The independent contractors organization and the hiring benefits have many health, education, and retirement components furnished by government with a suitable minimum wage structure. The concept of us versus them inherent in labor negotiations utilizing union versus management conceptualizations would be softened. What I'm saying is government takes care of at least the basic things that people are always asking for, you know, health benefits, retirement benefits, all these things, which further
and not very well, I might add. I mean, they've stolen our Social Security money from the very beginning day.
Yeah, and they've all the government's stolen that, and it's also trying to destroy the power of unions, right?
Right. Yes.
So what I'm trying to say is that in this kind of concept, the government is furnishing these health, education, retirement benefits so that the companies can afford to employ these people without, you know, small businesses can employ these people without having to worry about these extra charges, which are substantial. It's very yes. hard to, it's not a joke that these small businesses can't afford to employ people because of these necessities of health insurance or something.
And that's why they polarize the issue by saying that, you know, small businesses can't afford the minimum wage. They probably could if the system wasn't against them.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to do is say, you know, they talk about democratic socialism. There is no such thing. The actual governments and economic systems in Scandinavia are not democratically socialist. They are really democratically capitalist and democratically socialist because they do not have ownership of all businesses by the state by any means. They are actually more likely to encourage small business to thrive than I think in this country.
You're probably right. The only problem I see in the states you're talking about is their tax system is ridiculous. I mean, they take most of what you make.
You will have to figure out how
to pay for it.
Well, if you have education, retirement, health, you know, you have all these incredibly good benefits that secure.
Yeah,
you're going to pay for it. And yes, that will downsize your income. How much? I don't know because I haven't studied those countries. And maybe there's a lot of waste involved or maybe there isn't. But I'm saying they are not countries that are really particularly democratically socialist.
They're not poor countries either.
Yeah, they're socio-capitalist companies.
Yes.
They're with a balanced structure where the average citizen isn't feeling victimized in the same way, unless he's concerned about his salary.
Right.
So anyway, going back to that, government has a responsibility to protect its citizens, but it is also an obligation to provide them with opportunities for self-directed economic advancement. Economic freedom, the freedom to own and run one's own business, is a cornerstone of liberty that must be protected. In my view, capitalism and the entrepreneurial spirit are healthy, necessary, and beneficial human tendencies and must be protected by government. So I'm saying I want government to provide a lot of benefits, but I want to give them a business license and train them from the word go. Not only to know about how to start and run a business, but how to manage credit. How does banking work? How does borrowing and lending money work? The nuts and bolts things that the average person who graduates high school knows nothing about.
Doesn't know. Yeah.
So falls into a trap, a gigantic trap laid to them by these financial services companies so that they can indebt them as soon as possible, adding to that the student debt problem
student
loan problem. My health proposal, and I'm going along with Bernie Sanders here, I believe that health care is an inalienable right and government needs to step up. And yes, I believe it should be funded as it is in every major industrial country. But financing something like this is ridiculous when we do not just have some single payer system alone for a medical paradigm that is in itself broken. In other words, yeah, fine. Single payer system for what we have now? I will therefore initiate a serious research program where medical research is fundamentally after solutions that do not kill people, have dangerous side effects, or are outrageously priced. The effects of this research will ripple into all nations, into all matters related to the human environment, air, water, food, etc.
Well, so I can't disagree with you on that one, Johnny.
But you're also somebody interested in, you know, in proper medical foundations too.
Of course. And, you know, I had a friend of mine that, you know, most of the time I live in Europe, but I was going back and forth between Europe and the United States. And a friend of mine said, well, why don't you sign up for Obamacare? You know, you might save some money. Well, guess what? I wasn't going to save any money. It was going to cost me more. So we do need a system that doesn't dictate into the ridiculous system that's there now, doesn't support it. I agree.
We need
what it's going to look like, I have no idea.
What I'm also saying is not just the payer system, but it's the research that goes into what makes us better, what makes us healthier.
Well, right now, I mean, we have to focus on clean supplies of water, clean supplies of food.
I was saying that say we could actually have a single payer system. So what? If the medical paradigm is broken, what's the purpose? And why do I say it's broken? Because we're being served basically pharmaceutical products that are not very good for us. Products that have been often derived from natural medicinal substances, but in order to make them patentable, certain types of experiments have taken place and they've been proven to have some kind of effect, even though they're tremendously bad side effects often. What we need is a health solution that is not based on patents and confining the ability of people to sell medicinal products after spending billions of dollars on unnecessary research for synthetic products when the original product, which they found, you know, that is possibly an herb from the Amazon rainforest or some other specially known herb, and not doing the research on that or whatever other types of health practices could be useful.
Well, the whole key, Johnny, to this whole the problem is that the way the things are set up now, we have the health systems that are based on medicating us out of whatever particular symptom we have. Well, guess what? Most of these symptoms have been caused by. They've been caused by dirty water, bad food. Remember, we talked about in the show about my book, An Involuntary Spy, all about GMOs. These are not good for us. They also foster the use of more pesticides, which the government's approved increasing the parts per billion that we're allowed to get in our system. They've approved us being poisoned more.
So, and this
if,
is a, this is simply because
our food. If they stop poisoning our food, then we won't need all these drugs to help us. Sure, we'll still need drugs to. There's advancements of drugs that are going to help certain conditions, but most of these things. Allergies, intolerance to certain foods, cancers. Most of these things are being caused by bad food and bad water.
Yes, and I think that in order to do that, you would have to have regulatory agencies that are functioning for the people, to protect the people. And what we have actually, just to go a little bit aside from this particular point, we have regulatory agencies that are really serving industry, various industries in very callous and dangerous ways for the American people and for the rest of the world.
And they're doing it obviously, Johnny. They're it's not like they're sneaking through the back door. It's called the revolving door. Everyone can see them go in to government and everyone can see them go back out to the industry that put them in there and back and forth like Michael Taylor, who's been back and forth between Monsanto and the USDA and the FDA. And now he's the food czar. Well, yeah, good name for him. Food czar and his boss is Monsanto. So we need to break this, you know, revolving door system that's based on basically bribery. We need to break this.
Well, we need to have laws that prohibit the revolving door. We do need laws that limit congressional terms. We need a lot.
And campaign reform.
We have a tremendous amount of work to do to straighten out our country, which I still believe is a commercial and even spiritual, ethical leader, at least conceptually it is, although in reality it's far from that right now.
Yeah, it still is, you know, just from a European standpoint, the Europeans still love the United States. They still look at us and they still think that we have an American dream. They still value and pattern their own systems on our system of people's rights, even though they're being eroded here. This system and this structure is still admired as the best system in the world. It's just that, why are we destroying it? Why are we destroying ourselves? That's the basic question.
And it's a huge question, because I think what you have in this world right now is two very different psychologies. One of these is hopeful, logical, ethical, even spiritual, balancing self-interest with interest in others and community. The other is predatory, selfish, with a focus on self-aggrandizement and power. Now here's a song by UK songwriting genius Stephanie Slevin, which kind of describes two people with very diverse psychologies, mirroring the nurturing and hopeful and the predatory and selfish. Sometimes music gives us the best perspective. The song is called "I Know You Love Me the Most."
I may have marmalade on my toast and you may have your caviar. I may walk to work in my second-hand shoes and you drive in your fancy car. I'm down here and you're up there. You're giving me the looks like you don't care. But they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. I know by the way you stare at me that deep down inside you care for me. You may drink champagne to my cup of tea, but nobody freaking cares. And you say I ain't the one for you, that I'm way down there beneath the view. But look at what your poor sheik's done to you, and nobody freaking cares. She took your money and laughed at you, and then slept with all your mates and they were laughing too. So let's kick her to the curb, yeah, me and you, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said bad things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. Took to your drink and your one night stand, so please don't judge me by your own bad hand. Yeah, stand up straight, just be the man, for nobody freaking cares. And come down off your mighty horse and take a chance on me, and we'll run the course, and we'll show the bitch we don't do divorce, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said bad things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. Yes, I know that you love me the most.
If you like Threshold Radio, a program which deals with core issues affecting our personal, political, and spiritual lives, and advocates the creation of an enlightened, informed citizenry, not only in America, but throughout the world, then you might think of supporting both your product and business and our message by advertising on a show. All programs are archived and are supported in various ways, including social media, our outreach being broadcast weekly on VegasAllNetRadio.com, a very advanced internet broadcasting station, but also archived directly on our websites on YouTube and in SoundCloud. We believe in time we will have a very broad outreach. Through New Galaxy Enterprises, our parent company, we can create a wide range of marketing and advertising components to complement your advertising on Threshold Radio and increase your outreach in many creative and exciting ways. If interested, just go to www.thresholdradio.com and fill out a contact form with your interest. That's www.thresholdradio.com.
The following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here! There's too many of them!" Again, we saw the Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
This is Johnny Blue Star. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for great entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed.
We will now go out with Patricia Welch's rendition of La Vie en Rose by Edith Piaf, historically one of France's most important singers. You can find this and many other songs we have just mentioned on Patricia Welch's CD, Great Entertainment, Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia. Go to patriciawelch.com/CD if you're interested in purchasing the song. And now, La Vie en Rose.
Des yeux qui font baisser la mière, un rire qui sous-perçait sa bouche, voilà la portrait sans retouche de l'homme qu'est la Japantière. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les gens, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon de bonheur dont j'ai connu la cause. Il a pour moi ma pluie dans la vie, il me le dit la journée par la vie. l'apercevoir. Alors je sens en moi mon cœur qui bat. D'amour, plume finie, au grand bonheur qui pense aux places, des aimés déchira ses faces, au rêve, on a mori. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle à tout. Je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les gens, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont j'ai connu la cause. Il a pour moi ma pluie dans la vie, une mélodie, la joie par la vie. Et dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens mon cœur qui bat.